Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt Rocchio here with you till 3 o'clock. This is the Hardline, 855-282-8255. That is how you can be a part of the show. That is the text line, also the phone line. Anybody except for Hockey Bob and Big Al are welcome
Hockey Bob
to call.
Made some good points last time, I believe, right?
Doubt it.
No.
You might make one right now, though, Cam. Did you watch the game last night?
Which one?
Well, there was only one game last night.
Cardinal game?
No. It's football season.
There was only one game last night. I watched
Red
Zone all day.
Yeah.
A trick question? Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable. That's what I think. Well, at first, I'm like, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
He's done.
Typical
MCL blowout. Somebody landed on you weird, and you fall. You're in a weird spot.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, he is done. But then he comes back like superhero and does his thing.
I didn't think watching it that it looked too severe.
Oh, God. I thought so.
So it looked to me like it'd be an MCL strain, because typically MCL, not always, but a lot of times your MCL tear mm-hmm. will go right along with your ACL tear.
Yeah.
And so your knee has to really bend. And you there's some doctors you can follow on Twitter too that said that mechanism there was zero chance of an ACL tear.
Oh.
So
look bad, in my opinion. And I'm like, oh my God, this.
And you know what it was? You saw the same thing I did, is that he landed on his other leg too, so it had something to pin it against. It was really not a good. Anyway, yeah. He comes back like frickin' Hercules.
Yeah,
my brother grew up in Chicago and is a huge Bears fan, and I'm texting him during the game. I'm like, that Khalil Mack fell kind of decent, huh?
That dude's a beast, man.
And he said, you think? And I left him alone that night, but I talked to him today. He's like,
was that one of the best performances as a? Well, I guess one of the best performances on the defensive side of the ball since he did it last time with the Raiders, right?
Yeah, he's one of the only people in NFL history to have a sack, a forced fumble, yeah. Fumble recovery, an interception, and a defensive touchdown all in one game. And the last person to do it was Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
So he's pretty much just one of the best players in the game, full stop.
Aaron Rodgers has had two comebacks of 20 points or more in the last four seasons. The rest of the NFL has two.
And here's the thing, and this is why we talk about contracts the way we do. Khalil Mack can have an all-generation football game. Aaron Rodgers can do something he's done multiple times. One of them is winning a football game. The other one is making it closer.
Good point.
That's why Khalil Mack doesn't deserve the money that Aaron Rodgers deserves.
Bingo.
Khalil Mack does one thing that he's done, and they do it once every five mm-hmm. years. Aaron Rodgers does one thing he does once about every 1 year.
Although
there's the money difference.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to have to go against this cat 10 times in the next 5 years. He's going to hurt him, man. That dude's all over the place, and he's scary.
Yeah, look, he's good. If you're paying one, you pay a quarterback every time, no doubt. The Packers are just cheap. The Packers sort of passed on him, right? They decided that wasn't worth it. They didn't want to pay him that money, and they obviously would have had to give up the two first-rounders to do that. The Bears are building a defense. The Roquan Smith can freaking play, as you've seen.
Leonard Floyd ain't half bad either.
No, they got a bunch of dudes that can play. But it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, anybody arguing that the Bears are catching up are out of their mind. This is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about. Until Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the same mobility, because that's what's going to go. His arm's not going to go. It's going to be his mobility that goes, and that's what makes Aaron special. Until his mobility goes, he owns this division, right? Minnesota's good and all that. But why did Minnesota take off the way they did last year? Well, Aaron Rodgers got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Until Aaron Rodgers, and that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to win the division every year.
No.
But I'm telling you, the Packers, no matter who's around him, are going to be there destroying most people, and especially at Lambeau. You are rarely going to get a win at Lambeau with what you're seeing out of Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Slight point, though. If Mitch Trubisky just throws the ball completes a pass further than 7 yards at any point after the halfway mark of the third quarter, Bears probably win that game. Trubisky just shrunk.
And if the corner catches the one that...
Yeah, Fuller. Kendall.
Kendall Fuller, thank you. Catches the one in his lap with 2 minutes left. Wasn't that the play before the 75-yard touchdown?
Yeah, then Cobb takes off.
Yeah. Mm. Then it's a different game, too. However, You're watching a guy. So Aaron Rodgers was quoted as saying this after the game.
Oh, it's Kyle Fuller.
Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, right. I was right.
I was going to say Will Fuller, which I knew wasn't right. He's a receiver for the Texans.
Yeah, Kyle.
Aaron Rodgers was quoted as saying in this after the game, "You guys just do your job. I'll do the rest." And that's the harsh reality for, like, this was my tweet right after that. Not right after
you tweeted this weekend
a couple times. I want to show you my Twitter analytics.
By the way, my favorite
thing about Twitter right now is that TJ finally has an Old Testament vice. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke.
Oh my god,
he doesn't have premarital sex, but gambling, dude, finally. TJ has an Old Testament vice, and I'm down for
it. I'm trying,
it.
I'm talking to these guys
love every
all weekend.
Part about
I'm trying,
it.
I'm getting my services in and out. I'm trying to keep up because I know I'm gonna have to talk about this. And I was as busy as hell all week.
Every
I'm trying to keep up with your tweets,
tweet.
But
they, here's you did, my they, bet.
You did
here's
a good
the
job.
Line.
Let me finish this. You did a damn good job.
Hey, thanks.
Like, honestly, I missed everything all weekend, okay? And I had to
and
keep
you know
up
exactly
some,
what happened.
I know exactly what happened. I'm not great at commenting on it, but I know what happened, okay?
I went to two sites a lot today, and they were over this weekend, and they were back to back. I'd go to Twitter, and I'd read a TD tweet, and I'd go right back to my bookie, and I'd make a new bet.
It's just crazy. Oh, my God.
By the way,
I sounded so smart in the locker room.
There you go. Attaboy.
Until they told you to stop talking about football?
What about those hockey teams that were going on here?
Yeah, so we will get back into that. So I'm not necessarily betting on every game that I'm talking about. But it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what you're telling Kara as well.
Kara?
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm sure that's what you're telling her. I'm not betting every game I'm tweeting about.
Look, if that's what she's complaining about, she's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay? She's doing pretty good for herself.
The largest
bet. They have their own kind of bet going on. Okay. TJ's winning right now.
Call Kate and see what's going on.
The largest bet that I make is like $20. So it's not like I'm throwing down a whole bunch. I don't have any money.
If that's your fix, you're doing pretty good.
Put it on the credit card. But... The gambling lines tell you a lot about the game, and that is, to me, the most interesting thing because, for instance, Alabama opened up as a 22-point favorite. Half hour later, it was down to 19, which tells you immediately what the Sharps think and where the game's going to be going.
Yeah.
So that's where the lines are the most interesting. And then it's just kind of fun. Like, in a game like where Missouri was favored by 20, the fun is figuring out, like, are they going to score a lot? Where's this
after, like, week one, it's funny to see where, you know, people overreact to certain situations. Like, people are probably going to overreact to Dallas, I think, and I think the lines are going to be a little bit skewed for a little bit.
How much money's running away from the Saints right now?
Or the Saints?
Not much, I bet.
Really? You don't think so?
No, because I think...
It was the Buccaneers,
this is
man.
The fifth straight opener that the Saints have lost. Everybody, like, real
Ryan
gamblers look at
patterns. And an offense with Ryan Fitzpatrick, Peyton Barber, and then, yes, some very good receivers. But that ruins my point.
Some exceptional receivers.
That ruins my point, so I'm not going to mention that.
One of which is in concussion protocol.
Put up 600 yards of offense.
Against a pretty good defense.
Against a defense with multiple Pro Bowlers.
Yeah.
A couple All Pros.
One of the best corners in the league, Marshawn Lattimore.
And he bottled up Mike Evans in there two times last year.
Okay.
Mike Evans had less... combined in his two games last year than I think he did yesterday alone.
Dirk Cutter had a good week. What do you want? Look.
I don't accept that premise.
Here's the premise. Here's the one that you should, as a gambler. This is why I disagree that the money's running away from New Orleans. If anything, the money's running to New Orleans because if the line moves at all, there's a lot of value in it. And that is
the line's moving running away.
They have lost.
Vegas is running away.
They have lost five straight openers. That's Sean crazy. Payton doesn't do well with
but
a
it
long
wasn't, it
time
wasn't,
to prepare.
But it wasn't Sean Payton. It was the defense. Their offense was fine. Their offense ran it up.
I don't know if you know this or not. Sean Payton's the head coach.
I'm aware of that, but I'm gonna put it right here that he doesn't walk into an individual defensive meeting until Thursday.
I disagree completely. I think Sean Payton, as far down the line as he is today, has his hand on everything.
All right, fair. That's fair.
And he's brilliant. I've told you this before. That
he might walk in, he doesn't say anything.
I bet you he helps game plan is what I'm saying. I think this far down the line, you don't know this. Okay, think about this too.
All right, I'll buy that in the fact that as long as he's been their coach, every other year they suck at defense.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. Maybe, yeah, fine. He is in the defensive units because apparently there's some underlying denominator in him that causes them every other year to suck.
He is such a good offensive coach. Those guys are really useful. Like our defensive coordinators would often go in and pick the brains of the offensive coordinators and say, how would you attack this? And then let's figure out how to stop it. So he's very useful.
You'd think that he'd be really useful considering he's always scheming up some pretty darn good offenses.
Yes. And Michael Thomas still had a game and a half. Look, it was 48 16, or what was it? 47 like to 40, 48 to 40. It's not like that was it was crazy. That's one thing that's going to happen. Everybody's going to take the over in the next Bucks game and they're going to score 12. So
Yeah, I'm not, and that's the thing. It's not about. It's not like the Buccaneers have a great offense. I mean, they have great players.
Remember, Ryan Fitzpatrick earned that job with the Jets 2 years ago. He didn't earn the job this year. There's a dude who got.
And he beat out who to earn that job with the Jets? Geno Smith.
Yeah, but he played really well. Remember?
Yeah.
Like he earned it to be able to come back the next year to the point where he wanted so much money that they just couldn't come to it. So he played. He ended up walking the next year. So he played well enough and expected enough money.
Listen,
that they just didn't give it.
I'm down for the legend of Ryan Fitzpatrick. We'll never forget. Started in St. Louis, with the St. Louis
Harvard
Rams.
Baby.
Never forget that it started here, and it was a giant joke at the time. So I'm 100% down with him being a great quarterback for a season. I'm just thinking that him dicing up the Saints defense makes me, at least until week eight, really not trust anything that's going on there defensively.
Did you send another email for Splashback?
Oh my God. Yeah, I sent it.
You haven't?
I haven't, no.
Okay, you will, though.
I will.
Okay. Splashback, we're on it, buddy. We're on it. Yes, your point. I'll pull up all the box scores here, but your point, Cam, on the Cowboys. Not great. Now,
When was the last time Dak Prescott looked like an above-average NFL quarterback?
Well, I'm about to tell you that. Here's the last nine games. Passing yards. 176, 145, 179, 102, 332, 212, 181, 179, 170.
Okay, there's one way that's okay. Did they win all of those games, and did Ezekiel Elliott have 200 rushing yards in all of those games?
No.
Okay, so that's not good.
It's not good. So here is look, he went in the fourth round. Nobody thought he was going to be good. The question is, and Cam and I were discussing this over text this morning, is he a one-year wonder here? Is he a guy that came into a great circumstance with the best running attack in the league, with the best offensive line in the league, with a Hall of Fame tight end, Jason Witten, with a guy that was still close to his prime in Dez Bryant at the time, with Cole Beasley, one of the better slots in the league, with Terrence Williams, who was a good deep threat at the time. Did he just walk in and manage the game because he has good leadership skills? The answer to that today looks like yes, because their offensive line has faltered. A lot of those guys are Fredrickson, their center, has got an autoimmune disease. He may be out for a year. Who knows? And you've had some injuries. So you have Zeke still there, but people are crowding the box. Your Hall of Fame tight end retired. He's now trying to announce games. Dez Bryant's a free agent because you cut him. I mean, Russell Wilson can do this. We've seen Russell Wilson do it. It does not matter who is on Russell Wilson's team. He looks great. That's not the case for Dak. Dak is not Russell Wilson.
Looks terrible.
So the question is Dak closer to who we saw in the first year or closer to the guy we're seeing today?
Also,
who's the real Dak here?
Also, I want to ask, is it entirely Dak's fault or has Jason Garrett regressed as an NFL play caller and head coach overall? Because I saw an extremely uninventive, unprepared offense from the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so
is it entirely the quarterback or is there some bad coaching leaking in here?
So maybe you forgot the 2014 Super Bowl where Russell Wilson had to pass from the 2 yard line.
Yes,
we're talking about play calling.
When it happened.
Do you think the Seattle play caller is a good one?
Was it Daryl Bevel?
Correct.
What is he doing now?
Well, a lot of it's Pete Carroll too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a bunch of them. My point is, Russell Wilson makes everything look good. Like, who is the... Is Mike McCarthy a good play caller? Not really.
No.
He handed it off last year. He finally let somebody else do it. But Aaron Rodgers extends the play and throws a touchdown and makes something out of oftentimes what was not a good scheme. So, the point is, if you are a top 10-ish quarterback, that's what you do. You make something out of nothing. This is what we always used to tell the guys at Mizzou, and it was a smart take. Like, as a player, you get it, but it's not something you want to hear all the time. The offensive coordinators routinely said, make me right. I don't care if I'm wrong. Make me right. If this play sucks, make it good. Blaine, check it down. Figure it out. Extend the play with your legs. Throw it to this guy. Throw it to that. Figure something out. I'm not always going to be right, but make me right.
And I guess my question stems from also trust. There was a lot of plays where they were 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, and they're running 7-man protections, which makes no sense to me in any way, shape, or form. Because one, you have a pretty good offensive line, if Dak Prescott's having trouble, don't you want to give him as many options as possible? So that's where I wonder if Jason Garrett is just – if he's just lost a little bit, or if maybe is the reason that he's calling for these crazy these incredibly conservative passing schemes because he doesn't trust Dak Prescott anymore. Because that's ridiculously conservative in a league where that kind of stuff doesn't fly anymore.
So what is your question here?
I guess I don't know what's wrong. What the hell's wrong with the Cowboys, and how the hell are they calling? Are they going from, you know, max protection on a 3rd and 8 when they have a pretty good offensive line overall? Obviously, I know Travis Frederick's out, and losing your center can completely screw up the cohesion. But that just screams an offense that is in complete disarray already in week 1. I mean that's some 2009 Rams stuff right there, man. Like that is quite the definition of a Rams offense there for a couple of years. You had to go max protect when you need 3 wide receivers, but you can't because you have no trust in your team not just turning the ball over.
Yeah, it looks like they had the rest of their offensive line yesterday except for Travis Frederick. However, Zach Martin was a little bit banged up in the preseason.
And Tyron Smith's back is probably – we have no idea how much pain he's going through and what kind of shots he's getting.
So there's
been
quite a bit of issues there. I'm telling you, Dak has to make them right, and he's not doing it. So it always comes down to the quarterback. Always. It comes down – head coach, quarterback. That's how it goes. When things aren't going right, guess who gets fired?
And that's why the other person I brought into this equation was Jason Garrett.
Well, yes. Look, here's what I'd tell you about Jason Garrett. Nobody thought he was good to begin with. Right? So to then shift the blame.
But, I mean, there was a couple years there with Romo where they – and even that Dak's first year where the Cowboys
did he get any credit,
Rob? Very successful offense.
Okay. Did he ever get an ounce of credit?
No.
But Mike Lombardi came on the show last year and called him the clapper because he says all he does is clap. He can't call plays, doesn't do anything right. He's got some good players.
Yeah.
That is the thought of him around the league, that he does. He's not this brilliant offensive mind. This is not Sean McVay.
Why is he still there?
I think Jerry likes him, and they've had some success, right?
Quote unquote, Reed, Jerry has control over him.
Yeah.
Jerry yeah, but he's got control over a lot of guys that
he
fires year in and year out.
I think the last thing he wants is to ever run into another thing with a coach with actual personality like Bill Parcells.
Well, he wouldn't hire that guy.
No, he wouldn't.
But you don't just keep a guy because he listens to you, because that would be a stipulation of hiring the next guy, right? Nobody thinks that he's this brilliant guy. You drafted Dak, and remember, the guy who's pulling the strings shouldn't be pulling the strings, Jerry Jones. Because remember, Jerry Jones was trying to trade a first-round pick for Paxton Lynch. This is the same dude who just doesn't really know, gets infatuated with guys and rolls with something. He kind of tripped in to an unbelievable offensive line. Do you know how difficult that is to put together? That's not something that you just like, he's not this brilliant dude. We have too long of a resume to understand that he's able to go in and really scout an offensive line, put it together, and then draft Ezekiel Elliott to have the best run game in the league. Not what happened.
Here's a quick metaphor. He was trying to trade a first-round pick for Nal Yakupov if Nal Yakupov didn't have that really good first season.
Oh,
it's true.
He's doing pretty good in Russia
Paxton
right now.
Paxton Lynch just got cut 2 years after being the first round pick for the Broncos.
Nail Yakupov. I like that.
That's the truth, though.
Oh, man, man.
So, anyway, there are so many NFL stories going on right now. I want to hit on this real quick before we go. The Kansas City Chiefs, I'm adopting them as our Missouri team here since the Rams left us. And
hey, you can hear them on 590 The Fan.
That's right. We care the Cowboys and the Chiefs. And the Fighting Illini, 2-0, baby.
One of those teams will be fun to watch.
The Chiefs and Pat Mahomes. First of all, Tyreek Hill is in.
Oh, my God. Even his back.
You're right.
Flip.
What he did to that girl was incomplete. Oh, sorry. You're talking
what'd
about
he
his
do?
Feet on the field. Oh,
there's a couple guys.
Bad. Sorry, TJ.
He got kicked out of Oklahoma State.
Miscommunication there. My bad.
Oh,
sorry.
Another guy. And,
his pregnant girlfriend.
Cincinnati's doing pretty well for himself, too.
Joe Mixon. Kind of,
yeah.
Joe Mixon hit a home run, much like he hit that. No. Okay. I'm sorry, guys.
He did rock that chick pretty hard, though, man.
Yeah, the video of that was.
Oh, my good rough. God almighty.
So, anyway.
They should put that screen every time he breaks off a long run.
Let's stop talking about the bad things about the NFL. They don't need any more Pat publicity. What they need is to talk about Pat Mahomes. Let me tell you about, this is what I was talking about on my podcast here. So a typical drill is that the guys who have run a deeper route when the quarterback gets out of the pocket runs shallow. And the guys that are running a shallow route, like basically every route that I ever ran, then on a scramble drill, I run deep.
This is my chance!
So that is typically how a scramble drill grows. Anybody deep, come shallow. Anybody shallow, go deep. That's it. Do you know how different it is? This is the truth.
Tyreek Hill just goes deeper.
I've watched this. It is, if you're deep, go deeper, and Pat Mahomes will throw you the ball. That is
truth. Everyone goes deep, not just Tyreek Hill.
No, it doesn't matter what they're saying. That's amazing. Because here's what happens: the corners are not stupid. They're like, we're 70 yards downfield. I'm not just going to keep running with you, and you should, because Pat Mahomes can get it there. That is the truth of it. I mean, watch the game. I've got NFL Game Pass, which is incredible. You can watch the All 22 film, and you watch those guys. And Tyreek Hill's like, nah, I'll probably just keep running, and he'll run 75 yards and get. I mean, there's not a guy in the NFL today with an arm like Pat Mahomes. Jay Cutler, who had the best arm in the NFL for a decade, is jealous of Pat Mahomes' arm. I'm telling you, that's how good this kid's arm is.
Where did he come from?
Texas Tech. And Michael Vick has been saying this for a couple years. He watched him in practice last year. If you guys remember Michael Vick, he wasn't very accurate, but he had a rocket. Like
70 yards with a flick of the wrist?
Yes. Michael Vick was one of those, like, take your head off quarterbacks. He said, I wish I had his arm.
Never forget, we thought Roddy White sucked as a receiver for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And we were like, he can't catch a football. And it was, no, he just can't catch Michael Vick's rockets.
By the way, that's how it was for Blaine Gabbert for a while.
Yeah.
Like, we had a bunch of dudes at, Wes Kemp didn't have terrible hands. It's just, it's hard to catch a rocket from Blaine. There's only a couple of us that could do it. And if you don't have really good hands, then a guy who throws it hard even when he doesn't have to, that's pretty tough.
Greg Jennings hated Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Greg Jennings hated Brett Favre.
So there's a lot to that. Anyway, if you're a Chiefs fan, congratulations. This offense is going to, and this defense is going to be equally as bad. This is what Eric and I were talking about. There's very few things you can take as far as gambling that from week one to week two. Like chill on the Cowboys. They're going to be better than they showed, but still not good.
So I shouldn't trade an all-pro cornerback in a league where you have to have like three good ones?
Yeah, Brian.
I shouldn't do that? Okay. Just double checking.
And probably don't necessarily buy in on Adrian Peterson going for 150 every week either. So week one is not going to tell you everything, but I'll tell you this. What you didn't know is if Pat Mahomes could do it in a game, he has. So that's going to be one of the best offenses in all of football this year, and the defense is going to be pretty bad. So you're going to hit a lot of overs this year. There's your gambling pick for the day. What do you got in front of there, bud?
I got Tin Roof.
Tell me all about
Wednesday, right? Wednesday. Friday Night Fan has teamed up with Budweiser and the Tin Roof to be your pregame destination. The Hardline will be broadcast there live, 1-3, on September 12th, but the specials will run until game time. Half price fried pickles, which are unbelievable. $10 buckets of Bud Light and drawing for cards tickets, plus a complimentary pitcher of Bud or Bud Light to the first 10 people to call in and reserve a table. So all you got to do is call in, reserve a table before the Cards game, I believe up until 6 o'clock, 314-240-5400, 314-240-5400, and you get a free pitcher of Bud Light or Budweiser, whatever you want. Obviously, Tin Roof is right down the street from Enterprise Center and right up the street from Busch Stadium, 1000 Clark Street, just blocks away from the stadium. You know that. So go in there, call the number. I'll give it to you one more time, 314-240-5400, and get a free pitcher of beer.
Quick, before we go to break, Bo Weevil of Bevo Mill says, isn't Scott Linehan the OC of the Cowboys, not Jason Garrett? He is.
Garrett calls plays, though.
And that's what. But even so, I don't care. My reference to their offense looking like 2009 St. Louis Rams makes so much more sense now. It's a perfect analogy now, because guess what? You're the mastermind of that beautiful offense. Hey, Scott, I got a great idea. You're going to love it. In 2009, it didn't get Keith Null killed. Didn't get us any offense either, but hey.
Who needs it?
Little things.
Who needs it? Seriously, I love Mondays during football season. There's so much football stuff. We've not hit half of anything yet. Dez Bryant, we're talking about the Cowboys, was tweeting like crazy after the loss, trolling the Cowboys. The Titans are a absolute disaster.
Did they tweet him an empty check to like get back at him, Dez Bryant?
They should.
They should have.
The worst game ever, by the way.
And Deshaun Watson may be in this Dak category.
I don't want to be right about this one.
So, and I told you guys, go look at the Pro Football Focus stuff. He was not very accurate, and he had a lot of luck. So, anyway, we will, I think we're going to go college football next segment, and maybe some Cardinals as well. We'll get back to the NFL at the end. And Cam's got a hot take on Serena or something like that.
I also need a complete 100% take breakdown of the Vegas Golden Knights making a great move.
Oh, big dog move.
Come on, TJ.
Big dog move. They need to make something after that 20-game suspension of Nate Schmidt for PEDs.
Ooh,
that was bad.
That's kind of rare in hockey, isn't it?
Very rare. Yeah. And this was a really bizarre story. But
Also, because we love Cam, we're going to give him a minute to tell us about every single goal he scored this week at Fantasy Camp.
I completely dominated.
I bet you did.
Pointing against teams from Omaha, Nebraska.
look how happy he is.
All right, we'll come back and talk a little bit of hockey and a lot of football. And Adam Wainwright, baby. Adam friggin' Wainwright. He's back. This is Hardline.